Deuteronomy chapter 2. Deuteronomy chapter 2. Again, it's just a rehearsal of some things we already know, but he touches on some things that maybe we hadn't considered as much when we came across them earlier. But I do want to remind us about the previous chapter. As you might recall, the book of Deuteronomy is a review given to Israel by Moses of their sojourn after they crossed the Red Sea to the time they arrived to the plains of Moab, where they are presently located. Moses delivered this account to Israel. We know this. It says so in this chapter. On the 40th year, 11th month, first day of the month. This kind of information is helpful. It's there for a reason. We could begin to put things in their proper places, get a better perspective of everything that's going on historically with them. Moses, he gave that account to them beginning then in verse 3. So I do know by other things that 70 days later, Joshua is going to lead Israel across the Jordan River on dry land on the 41st year, first month, 10th day, Joshua 4:19. Now, of these 70 days, we know that there's going to be 30 days of mourning for Moses. And, of course, there'll be some time necessary for Joshua to prepare Israel to cross over the Jordan River. So that said, it's just my opinion, but Moses is going to die here pretty soon. And I'm thinking toward the end of the month, the end of this 11th month. And he knows his death is coming. He knows he can't lead the people of Israel across into Canaan. He knows that already. The Lord has shown him that clearly. At this time, Moses appears to come to a crossroads concerning his health. I don't know if I understand this quite right or not, but I do want to consider two scriptures. And I think our elder brother and pastor here, he'll identify with it. But he has the strength, the vigor in his mind, but he doesn't have the ability anymore in his body. But I'll tell you what, Brother King has the vigor to lead this congregation, but his body is worn out. And here we are with Moses. I want you to consider two texts. Deuteronomy 34, verse 7. I say this because Moses is nearing the time of coming into the presence of the Lord. But we have two scriptures that touch on this in a very particular way. In Deuteronomy 34, 7, and Moses was 120 years old when he died. His eye was not dim, nor, it says, his natural force abated. His natural powers, it has to do with moisture, as I understand it. It's a very hard thing to get a hold of. But I think it more so his vigor, the desire. But look at Deuteronomy chapter 31, verse 2. This is where we are now. This is what he's like. He can't do it anymore. In his health, Moses said to them, I am 120 years old this day. I can no more go out and come in. Also, the Lord has said unto me, thou shalt not go over this Jordan. Now, our desire might be there, but we just can't do it no more. And that's where we see our elder brother is, and that's the state that Moses is in now. He can't go any further. And this is all the perfect timing of the Lord. You know, when we think about the Lord, we're going to get to this in a moment. When I think about the wonderful God that we have, and he's revealed himself to us, it's amazing. With our God, there's no such thing as a random thought. You know, we have what we call a random thought, but even our random thoughts, they're not random. Where do our thoughts come from? They're being directed and moved by the Lord, all of them, of everyone, every soul, every moment, all of that's being done by the Lord. He's doing that here. He's doing it around us all the time. So we're going to come to something like that in just a moment. The first chapter tells us that during Israel's stay at Horeb, Moses had appointed a tiered judicial system to judge the nation of Israel. And you might remember that. Thousands and hundreds and tens and such like that of judges. Only the difficult cases would be brought to him for judgment. After the Lord had determined that they had been there where they were at Kadesh Barnea long enough, he moved them. Around Mount Sinai, he moved them to camp at Kadesh Barnea, a place noted for the time where they refused to come into the land of Canaan. And for this rebellion, you know well, the Lord condemned Israel to 40 years of sojourn in the wilderness until all the men of war from 20 years old and upward had died. And the chapter ends by stating that Israel encamped at Kadesh Barnea for many days. Now, in this chapter, we are going to fast forward to the end of the 40-year sojourn. Israel shall travel around Edom's most southern border and then up past Moab to the land of the Amorites or plains of Moab to defeat Sihon, king of Heshbon. That's what we see here. So I didn't have this situated, but it's very likely they were here at Kadesh Barnea and will come around. This is the area of Edom, and they'll come to the south here, to the tip of the Red Sea, this branch over here on the east, and then up around to Moab, and then Ammon will be over here. Midianites are down here, of course. Those kinds of things. I'm sorry, I didn't really plan to show that on a map. You couldn't see it. But that's what we have in this chapter. I hope when you read these things, it does take a little time, but I hope you take out your maps, your Bible maps, usually in the back, and get some idea of this. It's very helpful. It puts it much more deeply into your minds. Very good things. Now, in verse 1, then we turned and took our journey into the wilderness by the way of the Red Sea, as the Lord spake to me. So he's coming. We talked about the east. There's a branch off the Red Sea. They crossed the Red Sea coming out of Egypt somewhere. But now we've got another branch over here, and it comes to Ezion Geber, or another place is called Ethan, I believe. And so they'll come over to this area and try to get around Edom. Edom won't let them through. They came there by the way of the Red Sea, as the Lord spake to me. And we compassed Mount Seir many days. And the Lord spake unto me, saying, you've compassed this mountain long enough. Turn you northward. So come up, head up. So at this point, you fast forward 40 years through the wilderness, and it touches very briefly now on the last leg of their trip over to the land of Canaan, to where they're located here in the plains of Moab. It's from Kadesh, where Miriam dies, that Israel sent men to Edom requesting passage through the midst of their country. Israel had hoped, to leave here and go this route and up. But Edom won't allow them to do that. And so instead, they're going to have to come this route. And a matter of fact, they may have been down in this area to come up north, and then they'll have to go around the most southern area of Edom's border and then up. That it just wouldn't work out like they thought. But you know what? The Lord is the one leading them. You know, remember that. So what they hope for, maybe it doesn't have to happen, but the Lord's got this all under control. So 40 years later, they sent messengers over from Kadesh in Numbers chapter 20, verse 14. Moses sent messengers from Kadesh unto the king of Edom. Thus saith thy brother Israel, we're family. Thou knowest all the travail that hath befallen us. And then drop down to verse 17. Let us pass, I pray thee, through thy country. We will not pass through the fields or through the vineyards, neither will we drink of the water of the wells. We will go by the king's highway, a common commercial trail, and we will not turn to the right hand or to the left until we pass thy borders. And Edom said unto him, thou shalt not pass by me, lest I come out against thee with the sword. So they continue on. And the children of Israel said unto him, we will go by the highway. And if I and my cattle drink of thy water, then I will pay for it. I will only, without doing anything else, go through on my feet. And he said, Edom's response, thou shalt not go through. And Edom came out against him with much people, with a strong hand. And Edom refused to give Israel passage through his border, wherefore Israel turned away from him. And so they come down and around instead. Now, verse 4, and command thou the people, saying, ye are to pass through by, I'm interpreting that, by the coast of your brethren, the children of Esau, not through them, but by them, is the idea, which dwell in Seir, and they shall be afraid of you. And this was prophesied all the way back in Exodus chapter 15. This had been working. Had they trusted the Lord the way through, all of this would have happened so much earlier. But again, all the Lord's timing. But in Exodus chapter 15, verse 13, thou in thy mercy hast led forth the people which thou hast redeemed, and thou hast guided them in thy strength unto thy holy habitation. The people shall hear and be afraid. Sorrow shall take hold on the inhabitants of Palestina. That would have been over here in this area where they would have gone directly up before. Fear. Then the dukes of Edom shall be amazed, of Esau. The mighty men of Moab trembling shall take hold on them, and it will. All the inhabitants of Canaan shall melt away. Fear and dread shall fall upon them. By the greatness of thine arm, they shall be as still as a stone. When they follow as the Lord directs, that will be the case. Till thy people pass over, O Lord, till the people pass over which thou hast purchased. And thou shalt bring them in and plant them in the mountain of thine inheritance. And it goes on. Of this same account in Judges 11, verse 16, when Israel came up from Egypt and walked through the wilderness to the Red Sea and came to Kadesh, then, 38 years later, Israel sent messengers from Kadesh to the king of Edom, saying, let me pass thee. Let me, I pray thee, pass through thy land. But the king of Edom would not hearken thereto. And then verse 18, then they went along through the wilderness and compassed, or went about, the land of Canaan, went around the land of Canaan. So, as where verse 4 is telling us, command the people, you're to pass through by the coast, on the side of your brethren, the children of Esau, which dwell in Seir. And they shall be afraid of you when you take this route. Take good heed unto yourselves, therefore, don't you do any different than what I'm directing you to do. Meddle not with them. Don't you stir them up. Don't you go in there and be a problem. This is a lot of people. It's a lot of people. It's an intimidating group. Israel's a large nation, and they're wandering through, and Edom won't have it. But the Lord commands them not to meddle with them, for I will not give you of their land. No, not so much as a foot breadth. I'm not going to give you a footstep's worth of land. It's theirs. It's theirs for now. He says, because I've given Mount Seir unto Esau for a possession. They have their own land. We know that in Genesis 27:39. And Isaac, his father, answered and said unto him, behold, thy dwelling shall be the fatness of the earth and of the dew of the heaven from above. In verse 40, and by thy sword shalt thou live and shalt serve thy brother. And it shall come to pass when thou shalt have the dominion that thou shalt break his yoke from off thy neck. You'll become your own country. He's got his own place to be. In Genesis 32, verse 3, Jacob sent messengers before him to Esau, his brother, onto the land of Seir, the country of Edom. They have their own land. So, when they do come down this way, if they want anything, they don't need anything. But if they want something, they're to buy it, or whatever it takes. If for instance, they want water, we're going to find out the idea is when they to get water is to dig for water. You won't do that without paying them for it. The Lord has supplied for them so well. They don't need anything. Ye shall buy meat of them for money, that ye may eat. You see, they didn't just have manna. If they wanted to buy or eat their livestock or buy from others in the area, they can have that. And they did. And ye also shall buy water of them for money, that ye may drink. And the idea is to dig for water. For the Lord thy God, why is this? The Lord thy God has blessed thee in all the works of thy hand. He knows you're walking through this great wilderness. These 40 years the Lord thy God has been with thee, thou hast lacked nothing. So if you want it, if you want it bad enough, buy it. It's easy enough. Why? In Deuteronomy 29, verse 5, I have led you 40 years in the wilderness. Your clothes are not waxing old upon you, and thy shoe is not waxing old upon thy foot. You have not eaten bread, neither have you drunk wine or strong drink, that you might know that I am the Lord your God. It means that they didn't have access to it. But they could have that. They had no need for it. The Lord had provided so well for them. In verse 8, and when we passed by from our brethren, the children of Esau, which dwelt in Seir, through the way of the plain from Elath and from Ezion Geber, all of that, the plain of Elath evidently is right here with Ezion Geber, I think is pretty much the same area, right at the tip of the Red Sea here, this fork. That's where they went. They came around this way. We turned and passed by the way of the wilderness of Moab. And I think that means they came up this way. Now, there's a river right here. It's Zered. I believe that's it right there. And that's going to mark the northern border of Edom and the southern border of Moab. And they're going to cross that in a little bit. They're going to come up unto another river, Arnon, in a moment too. And that'll mark Moab's northern border. We turned and passed by the way of the wilderness of Moab. And the Lord said unto me, distress not the Moabites, neither contend with them in battle, at like Esau. Do the same with these, for I will not give thee of their land for a possession, because I have given Ar, which is the capital city of Moab, Ar unto the children of Lot for a possession. Lot's oldest daughter, her son, was named Moab, and that's where his property is. Okay? Now, you're going to, He's going to give you a little bit of history about the land before Moab and Edom took their properties. And Ammon, we're going to get into Ammon just for a moment. There were people there before. They were giants. And so they were large people, big people, real people. So verse 10, the Emims dwelt therein in Moab in times past, a people great and many and tall as the Anakims. You'll find reference in Numbers 13, verse 22, when the 12 spies went up from Israel to spy out the land of Canaan. They went up by the south and came to Hebron, where there was Ahiman and Shishai and Talmai, the children of Anak. And these were giants. They saw the children of Anak there. And in Number 13:33, there we saw the giants, the Rephaim. You're going to see the Rephaim, the name in here. That literally means giants. We saw there the giants, the son of Anak, which come of the giants. And I believe that's exactly what the Hebrew word, Rephaim. And we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so we were in their sight. These guys were upwards 9 feet tall, I believe. Verse 11, which also were accounted giants. And so here is the word Rephaim, Rephaim, plural for giants, as the Anakims, but the Moabites call them Emims. The Horims also dwelt in Seir before time. They were giants. But the children of Esau succeeded them when they had destroyed them from before them and dwelt in their stead. And what we end up reading here is that the Moabites came in. And so what's behind the scenes is the Lord gave them the victory to take their land. And so the Lord had a land for the sons of Lot. And so the Lord brought Lot's children in, Jacob's brother, Esau. He came in. Why? How did he discomfit them, these giants? Because the Lord did that. And that's what you see taking place. These Horim dwelt in Seir before time. Esau succeeded them when they destroyed them from before them and dwelt in their stead. How can just normal people do that? Because the Lord did. There were things going on. And as Israel did unto the land of his possession, which the Lord gave unto them, which I think that little statement there referred to what Israel had just done with the Amorites, at least in the southern part here, where Sion was defeated, Sion, king of Heshbon. Now, verse 13, rise up, said I, and get you over the brook Zered. And we went over the brook Zered. That's the southern border of Moab. And I think that's this right here. So they're going to cross Zered, but they're not coming into Moab. They're going to stay on the outmost border and go up. And the space, referring to the time, in which we came from Kadesh Barnea until we were come over the brook Zered, from here to here, was 38 years. But they spent a lot of time. All their wandering was down in the Sinai Peninsula. That's where they were for 40 years, for so long, until all the generation of men of war were wasted out from among the host, as the Lord swear unto them. And you remember that. For indeed the hand of the Lord was against them to destroy them from among the host until they were consumed. So it came to pass when all the men of war were consumed and dead from among the people that the Lord spake unto me, saying, thou art to pass over through Ar. That's the capital of Moab. And he's just referring to this capital. You're going to go by Moab. You're not going to meddle with him. The coast of Moab this day. When you come nigh over against the children of Ammon, who are going to be just to the east of them, then you're going to be careful there. Distress them not, nor meddle with them, for I will not give thee of the land of the children of Ammon any possession, because I've given it to the children of Lot for a possession. The youngest daughter's son, Lot's youngest son by his eldest daughter, youngest daughter. Can't quite say that right. Ammon is Lot's son by his youngest daughter. That belongs to them. And so they have property over here. I think what we would commonly call today is Jordan. In verse 20, describing the giants again, that also was accounted the land of the giants. Where? Ammonites. That used to have a land of giants. Giants dwelt therein in old time, and the Ammonites called them Zemzumims. There are things about the name you might want to check into. A people great and many and tall as the Anakims. But the Lord destroyed them before them, and they succeeded them, and dwelt in their stead, as he did to the children of Esau, which dwelt in Seir, when he destroyed the Horims from before them. And they succeeded them and dwelt in their stead even unto this day. And the Avims, which dwelt in Hazarim, even unto Azza, the Kaphtorims, which came forth out of Kaphtor, destroyed them and dwelt in their stead. Some of these names actually are going to come back too, because you're talking about people that are going to be among the Philistines. Goliath, his sons, all of them. They're all related to these giants. So, we pick up with the main thought here. Don't trouble Ammon. Rise up, take your journey, and pass over the river Arnon, which was the north of Moab, Arnon here, and now we come in to the plains of Moab. Ammon would be to the east a little bit, and so there they are. Rise up, take your journey, pass over the river Arnon. Behold, I have given into thine hand Sihon the Amorite, king of Heshbon, and his land. Begin to possess it and contend with him in battle. Now, they're not picking a fight. They're going in, but the Lord, again, like he did for Esau, like he did for Moab, like he did for Ammon, he's preparing them to come in, to have this land. It's very interesting. This day will I begin to put the dread of thee and the fear of thee upon the nations that are under the whole heaven. Who shall hear report of thee and shall tremble and be in anguish because of thee? So what did he do? And I sent messengers out of the wilderness of Kedemoth unto Sihon, king of Heshbon, with words of peace, saying, you know, as much as in you is, live peaceably with all men, right? And so they sent words of peace up here, but the Lord won't allow that. He won't allow that for them. Let me pass through thy land. I will go along by the highway. I will neither turn onto the right hand nor to the left. Kind of like what he just said to, actually he said to both Edom and Moab. They were trying to get passage through. Thou shalt sell me meat for money that I may eat. Give me water for money that I may drink. Only I will pass through on my feet, as the children of Esau, which dwelt in Seir, and the Moabites, which dwell in Ar, did unto me. See, they did barter with them, they just didn't let them pass through their land. Until I shall pass over Jordan. See, we have a goal. We're headed to Canaan. Until I shall pass over Jordan into the land which the Lord our God giveth us. But the Lord's already given them this land too. But Sihon, king of Heshbon, will not let us pass by him, for the Lord thy God hardened his spirit. Interesting. and made his heart obstinate, that he might deliver him into thy hand, as appeareth this day. He hardened him. He made Sihon's heart steadfast, fixed in his opposition to Israel's request. And the Lord said unto me, Behold, see, I'm working this. Behold, I have begun to give Sihon and his land before thee. I have begun to give Sihon and his land before thee. Begin to possess that thou mayest inherit his land. Why would the Lord make the heart of the king of Heshbon hard and obstinate to oppose Israel's request to let him pass by on the way to Canaan? And did the Lord make Sihon do something that was against his will? No. The Lord used Sihon's natural animus against Israel to accomplish his perfect will for his chosen nation. A will that was ordained before the world began. And in this way, the Lord may bring Sihon and the Amorites in the judgment to be destroyed and removed from the land so that Israel may take possession of it. And it will always be their land. The Lord did it that he might deliver him into thy hand, that thou mayest inherit his land. Why? Because they were a wicked people. You know, something about that. The Lord, by hardening the heart of Pharaoh, brought about the destruction of Egypt. We know that took place. Exodus 7:3, I'll harden Pharaoh's heart. The Lord said that of him. And we dealt with that before. The Lord did harden his heart. And the Lord did destroy Egypt. They were never a nation again like they had been then. But why? Because it's a wicked people. The earth is the Lord's. And this land is going to be given to Israel. It's theirs. But the inhabitants there are wicked. They've gone to a point where it's the terms, the land will vomit them out. And he removes the people of the land when it becomes so wicked. And I see this is what happens time and time again in history. It happened with all the giants in the area. They were wicked. And the Lord brought in a people to dispossess them of it. And it's the same thing here. In Proverbs 21:1, we read, the king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. As the rivers of water, he turns it whithersoever he will. The Lord does this. When we think about in 1 Kings chapter 22, verse 20, we see an open kind of an idea of what's going on in the spiritual realm when the Lord said, who will persuade Ahab? Now, this wasn't a question he asked of any men. He asked this in glory among the angels. Who shall persuade Ahab that he may go and fall at Ramoth-Gilead? And one said on this matter, another said on this matter, and there came forth a spirit and stood before the Lord and said, I'll persuade him. And what happened? The Lord says, go. Go forth and do so. And that's what took place. The Lord directed all of that to bring about the fall of the king, a wicked king in Israel. You know, in the days ahead, we're on the verge of some cataclysmic events. And we don't see these things, but we have an open window to it in the scriptures. You know, why will all the nations of the earth gather themselves to battle against the Lord's people in the end? Why? Because he has determined and he has sent spirits to persuade the kings to do it. Revelation 16:13, I saw three unclean spirits like frogs come out of the mouth of the dragon and out of the mouth of the beast and out of the mouth of the false prophet. For they are the spirits of devils working miracles which go forth unto the kings of the earth and of the whole world to gather them to the battle of that great day of Almighty God. See, you know what's taking place. You see it. You see past into the spiritual realm, how all of this is taking place. But the land, you know, we are so defiled in our land. I'm persuaded that judgment's coming. I'm just praying that the Lord will give us some insight, if it's his will, that we might be able to go through this thing. If not, we'll be in the presence of the Lord. But it's coming. Listen, we can't do the things that we're doing as a nation. You say, well, the whole world's death. That's right. The whole world's getting just like that. But here we are. And I'm concerned. I think as a nation, we're in big trouble. What do? You pray, if the Lord will. But otherwise, we know that it has to happen. This nation has judgment. It's already started. This is the God that changes. He changes times and the seasons. He moves kings. He removes them and sets up kings. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to them that know understanding, in Daniel 2:21. In Daniel 4:35, all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing, and he does according to his will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth, and none can say his hand or say unto him, what doest thou? That's who God is. There's not so much as a random thought. The thought that Sion the king was having was a thought that the Lord knew and was directing to bring him down. It was a wicked people. And he's going to use that to Israel's advantage and bring them in. In verse 32, then Sion came out against us, he and all his people, to fight at Jahaz. Rather than having Israel come all the way up to fight, he came down and met them about halfway to Jahaz. And the Lord our God delivered him before us, and we smote him. We just read about that in Numbers. And his sons, and they did the same with Og, and they'll do that in the next chapter, and all his people. And we took all his cities at that time, and utterly destroyed the men and the women and the little ones in every city, and we left none to remain. Only the cattle we took for a prey unto ourselves, and the spoil of the cities which we took. From Aroer, which is by the brink of the river Arnon, and from the city that is by the river, even unto Gilead. So he comes up about, it's not very a large picture here. We're coming up. They came across Zered down here. You have Arnon here. And so they came in and fought against Sihon over here at Jahaz. They said it's right here. And so, but they went and took the cities, all of them, and came up to the river, I believe this is Jabbok here. So they went about halfway between these two areas here, from the tip of the Dead Sea to the Sea of Galilee, about midway. And then the next chapter, then they're going to finish the job. And they're going up against Og, the king of Bashan, and finish that and take that land. And it's going to be all of Israel's. We've just studied all of that. So verse 36, from Aroer, which is by the brink of the river of Arnon, and from the city that is by the river, even unto Gilead, there was not one city too strong for us. The Lord our God, he properly said it was because of the Lord with us, delivered all unto us. Only unto the land of the children of Ammon thou camest not, nor unto any place of the river Jabbok, nor unto the cities in the mountains, nor unto whatsoever the Lord our God forbade us. We didn't go anywhere we weren't supposed to go. They did. They tried to stay within that realm. They did. And only took that. Now, for the wickedness of the people, I want to think about this and we'll close. It's in Leviticus chapter 18. Just read these four verses, 24 through 28. This is the, we were just talking about it, but this is the scripture where the Lord will spew the inhabitants of the land out for their wickedness. You see it time and time again. And but the whole earth, you know, one day, you see it, the conditions on the earth got so bad in the time of Noah that the Lord brought a judgment and he removed all the wicked from the earth in a flood, a great flood. And then you see these many judgments, if you will, regional judgments, and he removes people from the land. And it's repeated again and again. One day, when the Lord comes in the second coming, he'll remove all the wicked from the earth, and only the righteous will inherit the earth. Some in their natural bodies, some in spiritual, glorified bodies, but the people of God will have the earth. The meek shall inherit the earth. And in one day, the entire globe will dissolve. The heavens will shake and all that, and Peter talks about that. And only the righteous will come to a place that the Lord has prepared, a new heaven, a new earth. But it's a common theme. It's over and over and over again. The wicked are removed. They have no permanent dwelling place. And Leviticus 18, verse 24, defile ye not yourselves in any of these things, for in all these the nations are defiled, which I cast out before you. And the land is defiled. Therefore I do visit the iniquity thereof upon it, and the land itself vomiteth out her inhabitants. Ye shall therefore keep my statutes and my judgments, and shall not commit any of these abominations, neither any of your nation, nor any stranger that sojourneth among you. For all these abominations have the men of the land done, which were before you, and the land is defiled, that the land spew not you out also when ye defile it, as it spewed out the nations that were before you. Now, the world revels in their wickedness. It's nonstop, but it will stop. And they can make a mockery of it, but their judgment's coming. They will be removed. So Israel didn't do anything. They didn't go beyond anything the Lord commanded them to do here. They stayed with it. And so now Israel is camped in a place called the Plains of Moab, and the warriors went out to fight and took this area here pretty quickly. And the Lord now turns the warriors' attention toward northward, now beyond Jabbok, to the king of Og in the area called Bashan here. And that's in the next chapter, very briefly stated there. That's pretty much the lesson. Thank you so much for your attention.